Eternal Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the writings of holy men in days gone by. We thank Thee for the gift of Thy Holy Spirit, who is ready now to flood our minds, illumine Thy Word, and direct our thoughts into truth and righteousness. Bless us as we study, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May I suggest that you find 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and 15, and we will consider the contributions of two prophets and the reaction of one life. The setup of the Bible always intrigues me. 2 Chronicles chapters 14 and 15. The Bible lays up a set of circumstances. It brings into those circumstances certain actors, men, women, people of God, enemies. And as the play and interplay of the events carry through, God is working. Sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. And if we could only recall the episodes in the scriptures, we will see a wondrous revelatory process. Same thing is in the matchless life of Christ. He encountered about 36 people. He carried out about 36 miracles. And he taught about 36 parables. And through his reaction to people, through his works in miracles, through his theoretical teaching in parables, he tells us everything that every man will ever need to know for time and eternity. There are about 500 episodes in the Bible. Those 500 episodes cover a whole gamut of experience. Now the two prophets that we will consider, one is called in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 15, Azariah, the son of Oded, and in verse 7 of chapter 16, the second one, as Hanani the seer. Now these two men, Azariah and Hanani, gave oracles, teachings, testimonies, encouragement, warning, directive, at very important junctures in the life of one man. Now this man happens to be a good man. We read about him in verse 1 of chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles. His name is Asa. Asa. You may want to have a little puzzlement sometimes yourself to make a list of all the persons in the Bible whose names spell the same backwards as they do forwards. The first woman created, you can spell her name either way. If you want to go backwards, it's E-V-E, and if you want to go forward, E-V-E. You can spell Asa either backwards, A-S-A, or forwards, A-S-A. So you make a list sometime, and you've got nothing to do, you're driving along in the car, or mowing the lawn. Think of all the persons in the Bible who have names that spell the same back forward. You know, the French don't like that. They don't like it at all. Remember when there was a French premier whose name was Laval? L-A-V-A-L. They say if a man's name spells the same backwards as forwards, you got to watch him. He talks out of both ends of his mouth at the same time, and you don't know whether he's going or coming. I don't know whether anyone here has got a name that spells backwards or forwards, but forgive the French. They didn't know about you. Well, Asa was a good man. very good men. Verse 2, he did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He was a good man. And the Lord blessed him. First of all, verse 3, he removed the altars of the strange gods, broke down their images. Then verse 4, he commanded Judah to see. Stronger than appeal, he commanded. Verse 6, he built the fenced cities of Judah, and the land had rest. No war, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said to Judah, let's build the cities. We have a pleasant time now. Let's use this time to prepare for any evil day that may ahead. Let's strengthen our defenses. Because we have sought the Lord, he's given us rest. So they built. And Asa had an army. Everything was happy. But nothing is happy for very long. Have you ever wondered sometimes why things are going so well with you? Let me tell you, there are times in which you are to prepare. God always sends 7 years of plenty before 7 years of famine. Sometimes we forget the 7 years of plenty in the 7 years of famine and think only of the 7 years of famine. Because remember, the 7 years of famine swallow up the 7 years of plenty. Remember the story about the cows and all the rest of it in Genesis? That's life. And Asa used the 7 years of plenty to prepare for the 7 years of famine. And when he had done all this, because the Lord had given him rest, verse 9, there came out against him Zerah the Ethiopian, who happened to be one of the pharaohs of Egypt, when there was a foreign ruler. Egypt has had several foreign rulers, so have other kings. It's interesting to know that the royal house of Windsor in England is German. Came over from Hanover. And it's also interesting to know that King Farouk of Egypt, when he was king, was an Albanian. He was as much an Egyptian as I am, which is zero. And so there was an Ethiopian dynasty in Egypt. And they came right into Judah to a town of Mareshah. And Asa went out and set the battle. Verse 11, Asa prayed. Wonderful, wonderful prayer. We could spend the whole period thinking about this prayer, but we shall not. Help us, O Lord, in verse 11. You don't need a strong person to help. You can help, whether with many or with them that have no power. In thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, let no man prevail against thee. The main thrust of that prayer is that the cause of Asa was the cause of God. Asa identified with God. If Asa failed, the cause of God would be dragged in the dirt. He was not doing anything selfish. And the Lord, verse 12, smote the Ethiopians. And Asa and the people went after them and gathered a great amount of booty, came back to Jerusalem. By the way, there are people who say the Old Testament is full of wars. The Old Testament, God was a man of war and a bloody person. Always ordering Israel into war. May I suggest, if somebody tells you rubbish like that, ask them to give you a list. Of course they can't. But to satisfy yourself, you go make a list. Of all the wars that God told Israel to enter into. Then make another list. Of all the fights that Israel chose to go into, and God did not require them. And having made those two lists, make a list of all the casualties in the wars that God required Israel to fight. Make a note of the method of warfare and the casualties to Israel. And you will discover that Israel never lost a man. The Lord had all sorts of interesting methods of fighting. One time he told Israel to send the choir ahead, singing. Remember the battle he told Gideon to fight? 300 men? He said, you give each one of them a trumpet. And in the middle of the night, some trumpet. I tried to blow a trumpet once. And if any neighbors heard it, they were frightened away too. Gideon's 300 never lost a casualty. One time the Lord sent hornets. If ever you go to the little town of Chester, the northwest of England, quite close to the Welsh border, you will see in the coat of arms of Chester a hive of bees. About 1,000 years ago, they were besieged. And they tried every method they could to lift the siege. They shot every arrow, they threw every stone, they did everything they could. But battering rams were breaking, the ladders were being put up, the walls were being scaled. Good old days, nobody knew anything about sugarcane in Chester. And so every family had a hive of bees. And somebody suggested, why not empty the hive of bees over these soldiers that were climbing up the wall? They thought that was a very good idea. And suddenly inside their armor, there were 25 bees trying to get out and biting as hard as they could. And you know those fellows that were bent on capturing Chester took off. They had business otherwise. They had to get away and get their armor on. And because those bees raised the siege of Chester, the people were freed. In the coat of arms of Chester, you have a hive of bees. Well, now the Lord used hornets. Have you ever been bitten by a hornet? That's equal to 10 bees. Suddenly the whole enemy got interested in something else. You get hornets biting you. Hornets can bite and bite and bite and bite again. A bee gives you a bite and it dies, but a hornet pulls it out and gives you another jab. See, the Lord had all sorts of interesting methods. It's Israel that went into it. And here Asa said a prayer and the Egyptians took off, the parts unknown. And when they do that, the front line of fighters is too slow for the second line, and so they kill them. Then they become the front line. The people at the back begin to push and stick. They kill one another. And all Asa and his company had to do back of them was hooting and hollering, and they just took off and slew each other. And they collected all the booty and came back home without a single casualty. And then it was that Azariah met them. Verse 1 of chapter 25. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear ye me, Asa and Judah." Well, that's number one point you've got to realize, how Azariah addressed Asa. No fawning, not your majesty, no kind of flattery. Hear me, Asa, and all Judah. In the eyes of God, everyone is alike. No fawning, no flattery. Direct. The Lord is with you while you're with him. If you seek him, he'll be found of you. If you forsake him, he'll forsake you. Very simple testimony. Hang in there. As long as you're with the Lord, he'll bless you. You turn away from him and you move out of the orbit of saving grace. Now, I think the finest contribution that Ellen White made, apart from the insight she gives into the life of Jesus, is The Great Controversy. Theologically, that's the most exciting concept that she presents. The great controversy. Now, we take it for granted. There's been a fight between Lucifer and his angels and Michael and his angels from the beginning. But we are right in it now. And as you read the writings of Ellen White, she says everything must be understood in the light of the great controversy. Prayer, for example, takes on a real meaning in the light of the great controversy. Prayer. You know, quite a few people don't believe in prayer. God knows what is best. He's going to do what is right anyway. What's the good of wasting time? What's the good of troubling him? But Ellen White laid down a wonderfully interesting point. God will do for us when we pray what he can't do for us when we don't pray. Now, how come? Well, on the right hand is the Lord Jesus Christ, and on the left hand is Satan. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant less?" Satan says, "Yeah, I know. You're giving him all that. Let me touch him, see what happens." The Lord says, "Well, go touch him. Touch all that he has, but don't touch him." You know that he did that to Job? Now, sometimes Satan says, "Look at Les. He's on my side. Can't you see what he's doing? Leave him alone. He's chosen to do this." But as soon as I say, "Lord, help," then I move from the orbit of the influence of Satan to the orbit of the influence of Christ. And God can do for us when I pray. But Satan says, "Leave him alone. He's on my side. He's chosen me. Know ye not that he to whom yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Paul talks about men keeping the day. One man keeps one day, another man keeps another day, and every man, some other people keep every day alike. What does Paul say? "Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Remember, to his own master he stands or falls. He doesn't say it's right to keep every day. There's only one day that's the Lord's day. But to his own master, he stands or falls. So as we realize the great controversy, when we turn to the Lord, he's right there. That's what Asa is emphasizing here. The Lord is with you. Seek him and he'll be found of you. If you choose to go away, well, you move into another camp. You accept another leader. Then he encourages him, verse 7, "Be strong. Don't let your hands be weak." When Asa heard these words, he took courage. And he went further in his reforms. And he gathered all Israel together. All the people of God together. Now notice what verse 9 says. "And they gathered all Judah and Benjamin, strangers out of Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him." Membership increased. When they saw that the Lord his God was with Asa and his friends, great numbers of strangers came and joined them. They saw that God was with him. In verse 12, Asa led them into entering into a new covenant to seek the Lord. I like that covenant. Sometimes we enter into a covenant that we'll give our hearts to the Lord. Asa got them to enter into a covenant that they would study the Bible and look, seek the Lord. I like that. It'd be wonderful today if we could enter into that covenant to seek the Lord. "And all Judah rejoiced," verse 15, "at the oath." Verse 19, "There was no more war unto the 35th year of his reign." 35 years. In the 36th year of Israel, verse 1 of chapter 16, Baasha, king of Israel, attacked the northern frontiers of Judah. And Asa, verse 2, got a lot of treasures out of the temple and sent them up to the king of Syria. And said to the king of Syria, "You open a fight, a war, in the northern regions, Golan Heights or wherever you want to. And distract them. Here's some money." Verse 3, "There was a league Verse 4, Ben-Hadad hearkened unto Asa. And it came to pass, verse 5, when Baasha heard it, that he stopped fighting in Judah. Verse 7. At that time, Asa received a second testimony. Hanani the seer came to Asa and said, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not on the Lord thy God, the hosts of Syria gone out of thy hand. And he reminded him, verse 8, were not the Ethiopians and Lubans a huge host, very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, and he delivered them into thy hand. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. 35 years, Asa lived for the Lord. Then he got a temptation. Trouble. And what did he do? He used human resources. He got Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, to join him. Never be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The Lord would spare him. Why did you do this? And then, through Hanani, he reminded him of what had happened years before. He says, remember the fight you had with Zerah? You know what Ellen White says? We've got nothing to fear for the future, save as we forget. Save as we forget. You know, I'm working on the statistics, Adventist statistics. How many people were Seventh-day Adventists in California when they founded PUC, St. Helena, Paradise Valley, La Sierra, Loma Linda, Glendale, White Memorial, many academies and many schools? Very few. Very, very few. Fewer than members in the Glendale City Church. Now, I've taunted certain churches in my life in a spirit of naughtiness by reminding them that their fathers built the church and they have a hard time paying the utilities. How did the pioneers do it? How did they do it? 175 people decided they're going to start a publishing house and build a college at the same time and a sanitarium and two or three academies and six or eight grade schools. They had a commodity known as faith. God said it, let's do it. Why not? What did the 300 men of Gideon do? God says it, let's go. Let's go. You know how they did it? They had a great earthenware pot somewhere dangling on their elbows while they held a torch inside it. And in the right hand they held the tutor. Where did they hold their submachine guns? Or their swords? Trying to keep that torch alight. Trying to blow a tutor, didn't have too much time for human effort to fight a battle. The Lord's trying to tell us, because you've done foolishly. You've forgotten what the Lord has done for you. Now, what was Asa's reaction? Verse 10, and Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in prison. What had he done? You ever wondered why they hated the prophet and stoned them that were sent unto thee? Spake all manner of evil against them falsely. And some they put to death, and some they stoned. I'm coming to the conclusion that no self-respecting insurance company would ever insure the life of a prophet. Occupational hazards are beyond insurance. Jeremiah was stoned. They made an 80 or 90-year-old Isaiah crawl inside a hollow log and sawed the log into three or four pieces. They put Jeremiah down into a well before they stoned him later on. They Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, between the temple and the altar. Daniel found himself in all sorts of unpleasant places because he gave a straight testimony. John the Baptist lost his head because he told an adulterer that he was doing wrong. And they're still throwing rocks at the memory of Ellen White. Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in prison, for he was in a rage with him because he did this thing. As soon as Asa started to apostatize, he went farther. And he oppressed some of the people at that time. In his 39th year, verse 12, he was diseased in his feet. I don't know whether he had gout or gangrene or I don't know what was the matter with him. Until the disease was exceeding great. And in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. You can start up by being a very good man. You can start up by doing everything right. But you can forget. You can forget. And at the crucial junctures in your life, God in His mercy will send testimonies. The writers being dead yet speak, like Abel of old. And as we read, as we study, as we think, as we pray, as we open the books and consider, word comes to us. Speaks to our soul, directs us as to what we should do. Now we can choose to do it. Azariah came to Asa, Asa chose to do it. He had success on every side. First of all, he had rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I'll give you rest. Peace, fulfillment. The sense that you are in the right place, in the right relationship to God and man, doing what God wants you to do with peace of soul. The most valuable treasure that Christ can give. And Asa enjoyed 35 years of rest. But then came Baasha. Call him what you want. Behind him is a forked tail. Chasing, pushing, troubling, always. Accident, sickness, monetary loss, death, loss of job. Baasha comes in many shapes, many sizes. What do? Appeal to Ben-Hadad? Go horizontally when God's above us? God will send us another testimony. Anani will come and say, why have you forgotten the way the Lord has led you? Remember, you have nothing to fear, save as you forget. How do we react? Anger? Resentment? The options are always open. 35 years of serving God can give way to 4 years of apostasy. How is it with us today? The Lord's methods don't change. The Lord's approach is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and for all the evers. Let's listen to His word. Heed them. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee for its quiet warning, for its rich encouragement, for its sunshine portraits of the results of serving Thee, and of the somber darkness of going out from Thy presence. Bless us, Lord, in our inmost souls. Bless the children, bless the youth, bless the parents, bless the gray heads. Grant that we may never forget, always remember thy guidance, and allow thee to guide and rule, direct in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name.